Chapter 2. An Insulted Ghost. The storm raged all that night, but nothing out of the ordinary occurred. The next morning, however, when the family came down to breakfast, they found the bloodstain on the floor again.
"I don't think it can be the fault of Pinkerton's Best," said Washington, "for I have tried it with everything. It must be the ghost."
He accordingly rubbed out the stain a second time, but the following morning it appeared again. It was also there the morning after that, though the library had been locked up at night by Mr. Otis himself. Everyone was now quite interested. Mr. Otis began to suspect that he had been wrong about the non-existence of ghosts. And that night, all doubts about the objective existence of ghosts were removed forever. The day had been warm and sunny. In the cool of the evening, the whole family went out for a drive. They did not return home until 9 o'clock, when they had a light dinner. The conversation in no way turned to ghosts, and no one had been thinking about them. At 11 o'clock, the family retired, and within 30 minutes, all the lights were out. Later, Mr. Otis was awakened by a curious noise in the hall. It sounded like metal and seemed to be coming closer. He got up at once, struck a match, and looked at the time. It was exactly 1 o'clock. He was quite calm. The strange noise still continued, and with it he distinctly heard the sound of footsteps. He put on his slippers, grabbed a small bottle of oil, and opened the door. Right in front of him he saw, in the moonlight, an ugly old man. His eyes were as red as burning coals, and long gray hair fell over his shoulders. His clothes, which were old, were dirty and torn, and from his wrists and ankles hung heavy chains.
"Sir," said Mr. Otis, "I really must insist that you oil those chains. I have brought you, for that purpose, a small bottle of the Tammany Rising Sun Oil. It is said to be the best. I shall leave it here for you by the bedroom candles, and will be happy to supply you with more, should you require it."
With these words, the minister laid the bottle down on a small table and, closing his door, went back to his bed. For a moment, the ghost stood still from shock. Then, throwing the bottle down violently on the floor, he ran down the hall. However, just as he reached the top of the staircase, a door was thrown open. Two little boys appeared, and a large pillow flew past his head. The ghost disappeared, and the house became very quiet. On reaching a small secret chamber in the left wing, the ghost leaned up against a wall to recover his breath and began to think. Never, in a brilliant and uninterrupted time of 300 years, had he been so insulted. He thought of the Duchess, whom he had frightened into a fit as he stood before the mirror in her fancy dress and diamonds. He also thought of the four maids, who had gone crazy when he merely grinned at them through the curtains in one of the spare bedrooms. All his great achievements came back to him again, from the servant who had shot himself in the kitchen because he had seen a green hand tapping at the window, to the beautiful Lady Stutfield, who always wore a black band around her throat to hide the mark of 5 fingers burnt upon her white skin, and who later drowned herself in one of the ponds nearby. With the excitement of a true artist, he went over his most celebrated performances. And after all these performances, some terrible Americans were to come here and show no fear whatsoever. It was unbearable. Besides, no ghost in history had ever been treated in this manner. Accordingly, he determined to seek vengeance.